This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Calling Grass Nation, we are conducting an audience survey at gum.fm/touchgrass. And we want to hear from you so that we can keep making content you love.
You know this. We know this. There are ads on our podcast. Mm-hmm. We want to improve that experience. But in order to do so, we need to know a little bit more about you, our audience. This survey is quick, easy, and a free way to support this podcast. It'll take 2 minutes and you'll be helping us out so much by doing it.
Yes, so go to gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our audience survey. That's gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our survey. Thank you for using your precious time online to help us with our podcast.
We love you.
You've got mail.
Hello, I'm Millie Tamaras.
And I'm Elise Morales.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in.
So you can log off.
Elise and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this pod, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can do literally anything else with your time.
Text your mom, call your dad.
Call your dad, not call your daddy.
No.
Because that's not this podcast.
That's a different podcast.
We'd love a quarter of what that bitch is saying, but whatever. But we digress.
Different discourse for a different day.
Put a pin in that call your daddy discourse. Call her daddy discourse.
Guys, and if you like what you hear today and you want to hear more, we've got a Go Touch Grass Patreon already up and running with all of our test episodes, mini trending topics, a weekly newsletter, and our spinoff series, Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past.
And I do have to shout out that the Discord is popping right now.
Yes, we have a Discord.
Somebody was like, hey, I know that we're all in different corners of the internet, but who would you nominate as your grasshole of the week?
I love to see that discussion.
And we love to see it.
That's beautiful. And that's one of the, if you join our Patreon, you can get in the Discord.
You can get in there because we got a great episode about Elon and Don Lemon. And yeah, we get into it. And that's a lot. Speaking of things we love to see, mm-hmm. We love to see our guest for today.
Wow.
Our guest for today, let me tell you something. Guest for today, comedian, writer, mm-hmm. writer specifically on Netflix's Human Resources, mm-hmm. actor, and Kansas City's true hometown hero. Fuck you, Travis Kelce. Everyone give it up for Caleb Harris! Fuck Travis Kelce. Caleb.
Hi.
We're so happy to have you
in
the
studio. We're so excited.
I was happy to come in, but then when I walked in and you guys said, what is this faggot doing here? Threw me off.
That's just how we greet all of our guests. That's just what we say when people come to the studio.
I'm sorry, but Elise and I live in Bushwick. And that's how we, you know, that's our community.
That's just cultural? Okay.
That's just cultural.
Okay.
Yeah, we reclaim the F word.
And is it also a Bushwick thing that you guys have a big sign up in here that says no fats, no femmes?
Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know if
as a fat and a femme.
I was wondering. I was like, what's going on?
I am a self-hating femme.
It's ironic, and it's actually satire, and it's a skit.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
All together. Oh, that's a whole segment of the internet is when people say the most unfunny, serious to camera thing. And say it was a skit.
Just lying straight
just
up.
Lying.
Or these horrible things now where people are doing like very obvious skits where they're like pretending to have like a big breakup and throwing a TV out a window or something and being like, this is fucking crazy. Men are scary. And it's like, that was a written piece.
Yeah.
Men are scary. But that was a written piece that people
stands,
are taking
but...
as serious. Yeah.
The people do that shit all the time on the subway. Like, oh my God, there's this one little person that gets into all kinds of shit, like, and they do like perform skits, but it looks like random, like New York is crazy, and there's like,
but it's a skit.
Yeah, it's like this woman will throw this little person off the train and shit, like crazy stunts, or they'll run down the escalator. It's kind of like Jackass giving Jackass, but at Broadway Junction, which
TikTok has turned culture into improv everywhere.
It really is.
Improv Everywhere is getting a big redemption arc right now, I feel, because their whole thing is like working for TikTok.
Yeah. I mean, we know the guy who created Improv Everywhere. We love him.
Yes.
Charlie Todd, we love you and your beautiful family. But
it is, I think people are misunderstanding the message and taking it to TikTok. And what I'll say right now is that I do not need anybody I do not need anybody making content at Broadway Junction. What's happening at Broadway Junction is high energy.
Broadway Junction's like,
now what is Broadway Junction?
It's
a subway station where the J train
is deep in Brooklyn.
Is this one with the checkers? And is that the one?
The father, son, and the Holy Ghost, the Popeyes, the Checkers, and the Dunkin'.
Yeah,
the father, son, and Holy Ghost. That's where we live.
That is another insane.
That's another
kind
Myrtle
of
Broadway.
Because
there's
Broadway
a meth
Junction,
clinic right there, and K2, and all this stuff.
Broadway Junction has a very particular. It's like two levels. You have to go up
really
the most
crazy.
Narrow, insane escalator where you do. It's real. You feel like you could die at any moment. It's the most.
This little person's just jumping off that. It's crazy.
See, that's the thing is, I can't see. There's already so much going on. Preachers are at Broadway Junction.
Yeah, preachers are at Broadway Junction.
Literature.
It's crazy.
Y'all need to listen up when the preachers hand stuff out.
We already said that we're going to hell, right?
Yeah.
Like, because of premarital sex and all that bullshit, right? But then there's a deeper hell for Dick Cheney. That's what I say. Mm-hmm. Dick Cheney hell.
I don't think I'm
verdicts,
going there.
Yeah. No, verdict's still out on that. I don't think I'm going there. But
I had a really bad, when I was flying in here, I was supposed to have a very short, direct flight from Chicago. And it ended up taking us about 9 hours to get here.
What?
No. We got delayed because of weather. Not delayed, in the air, circled. So I was on the plane for 8 hours. And I was sitting next to a very good friend of mine. And at one point we were in Baltimore because we ran out of gas while we were circling LaGuardia. So
Baltimore's
we had to go
fun.
Get Baltimore, hey, I love your airport that I was in for 2 hours. But my friend turned to me at one point because they were updating us every 15 minutes and being like, hey, we're going to go in 5 minutes. And they were doing it. We did that for 2 or 3 hours. And at one point, and we're keeping good spirits. I'm saying 4 or 5 hours into this, me and my friend are still joking and being like, hey, it could be a lot worse. The AC's working. Like, we're being very, you know, we're
the
checking in with our gratitude.
Off.
You
could
have just got on the fucking Acela at that point.
And we considered it, but they weren't letting anyone off. And then at one point, my friend turned to me, speaking of hell, and just goes, do you think this is what hell is? Like, literally, like, do you think sitting on a plane for 8 hours... And every 15 minutes, they tell you in 5 minutes, we're out of here.
I think it's a version of hell.
I think that's
it
a version of hell.
That's absolutely a layer of hell.
Speaking of versions of hell, Caleb, you got your fame from a series of front-facing videos. my personal...
Not this. You don't bring up front-facing videos. A cursed concept.
Don't curse it, bitch. That's how you got here. But my favorite is POV. You're talking to your friend and they're in the wrong. And it's just like a video of you responding and stuff. My question is, that was a video that went super viral. Did the friend you were referencing ever ask you what that was about? Or was that an amalgamation of many friends?
Well, it's an amalgamation of many friends. But the funny thing is, that video, so here's the tea on that video. First of all, that was an era of, it feels like a bygone era to me, but that was an era of Chicago comedy when, like, doing those little character videos on the internet, specifically with Chicago comedians, felt like we did feel like we were doing something different at the time.
Yeah.
And I don't know if people outside of that scene felt that we were, but we in Chicago definitely felt like, oh, we're doing Twitter videos now. Mm. Like, we were convinced in our heads that we were doing something different. It's up to everyone else if we were or not. But I was really getting into it and being like, okay, how do I make these, like, how do I do these videos creatively? And basically what happened, I had this horrible day job that I hated so much. I was an administrative assistant at an ad agency. The people were nice, but the work sucked. It just was not where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And so shout out to some of my former coworkers who I'm still friends with. Love y'all. But I started being bad at the job. Like, I just was like, I was showing up late. I was not doing things that I was asked to do. Like, I was objectively.
I mean, that's just normal.
Yeah. I was a bad employee.
Quiet quitting.
I was quiet quitting. But here's the problem. I was calling my friends every time I would get in trouble at work and being like, can you fucking believe that? And my friends were like, oh no, how could they do that to you? And then I started listening to myself and I'm like, of course you got in trouble, dumbass. You're not doing your job.
So you're the bad friend.
I'm actually the friend on the other end.
Wow.
Of the
Wow. So
video.
Deep. Wow. The artistic process. Yeah. I feel like we're inside the actor's studio.
Yeah.
How did you come up with that little Twitter? Yeah, so I was on a break from... When I filmed that, I was outside my office in Chicago. I took my lunch break and just walked around the block because I was fuming at how much I was in trouble and knew that I was wrong. Because that's the worst time to be in trouble.
Yeah.
When you know that you're in the wrong.
You knew when you fucked up, yeah.
And I was like, I am going to record a fake version of what I wish a friend would say to me if I would call them right now. And that's what that video was.
Wow.
That's so cool.
No, it's a beautiful, like, self-reflective moment. Exactly how art is supposed to be used.
And, like, self-aware, but there was truth in there. And that's what fucking resonates with people is, like, when you're honest about shit, people eat that shit up. So
I think it's something about me is that even if it takes me a little while, it takes me sometimes longer than I want it to, and I'm not proud of that. But I feel like one thing I am proud of is I usually can get to the truth when I'm in the wrong. I usually can circle back and be like, you were wrong about that. You were being annoying. You were being unfair. And I will get there. And that was one of those moments where I was like, you're being mad at your job for getting onto you when it's absolutely correct that they do. You know?
Wow. And that, I mean, that's better than a lot of people. I'll tell you that. Some people never get there.
No, some people never get there.
Some people, I'm like, Doug, you don't see a common denominator in your fucking problems.
You're the drama. The drama follows you because the drama. You're the drama.
It follows. Horror movie. This is a kind of a film podcast, unfortunately.
Yeah. I do love It Follows. You know, but speaking of
It Follows.
Okay. Speaking of It Follows, and the bisexual community. You recently got into some discourse with the bisexual community.
They're upset.
Were you,
at you
the drama in that situation?
What's
Do you
going
wanna
on?
Address the drama?
Address the bisexual community right now.
I would legitimately, so basically what happened was, for context for people who don't know, is I posted a TikTok of my podcast, an episode I did with Brittany Broski, who I fucking adore, by the way. Brittany is so funny.
Not more than me, though.
No.
Okay, great.
You guys are extremely equal. All three of you.
Thank you.
Wow.
No, but I love Brittany. And we were talking. Somebody had called in and been like, can you, I do this segment where I let people call in and ask me what they want to know the truth about. And someone had called in and said, can you tell me the truth about bisexual women? What's going on with them, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. I have a lot of bisexual women friends. Mm-hmm. I feel very comfortable making this joke. I do not apologize. I have, and I'll call them right now. No, I do not apologize for this joke. It's funny. Okay, I have a lot to say about this. Let me just. Okay.
This is a space.
This is a space. We're discoursing.
The studio's hot. Yeah. Listen, Emma's
We're
here.
Doing discourse. So basically, Emma, first of all, are you mad at me?
Our producer, Emma.
Our producer, Emma.
No,
she's bisexual not icon.
And she's
bisexual,
not mad. Speaking on bisexual, on behalf
she's wearing a turtleneck
everywhere.
And everything. She's here, man.
I have no beef with you.
Emma's outfit came out to me before she did. You know what I mean? I was like, that's a bisexual.
She's wearing
ever.
The chunky turtleneck.
Yeah,
she
baby. She
here.
Got the little Shania Twain boots on.
So what happened? So someone called in.
Someone called in and said, what's the truth of bisexual women? And I said, I have a lot of the utmost respect for bisexual women. I think them and their boyfriends. Mm-hmm. Brittany laughed really loud because it's a funny joke. And bisexual women, here's what I will say. A lot of them mad. A lot of them not mad at all. The comments are pretty much
equal.
Like 50-50, 60-40, depending on where you're looking. Mm-hmm. Here's the deal. My thing with bisexual people, I legitimately, they're valid. I love them. Mm-hmm. I love being in community with them. But bisexual people often are decrying that they're not part of the community. We want to be taken seriously in the queer community. We want to be part of the queer community. Mm-hmm. And then when we read them, the way that queer people read each other, mm-hmm. they get mad. I'm like, honey, this is the community.
Yeah, the community
we
is
We fuck with each
other.
We're joking with each other. I make jokes. I go on stage and make jokes about my trans friends. Mm-hmm. They make jokes about gay men. The community is mm-hmm. reading. This is done with love. This is a community practice.
Wow.
It's like being Italian.
Yes.
Yeah, or being Dominican or being any marginalized group, part
Cuban.
Of it is, you know, and you can tell the jokes, like, when it's coming from love and when it's coming, and then also, like, there's a bit of truth in it. I don't know. That's really a great, astute observation, is that they want to be in community, but being in community means being secure enough about your space and your place in it that you can be poked, made fun of.
And what you said about security is really important, right? Because a lot of the reason they're lashing out at me is not because the joke is egregious or because the joke comes from a place
of
hatred.
No, the joke's fire.
The joke is fire, and it comes from a place of love because I do love bi people. The reason they're lashing out at me is because they feel insecure because they don't feel queer enough. Mm. That's your business.
That's not on you. That's not on Caleb.
That's not my
that
problem,
baby.
That is
not Caleb's problem.
And then, yeah, some people were doing stitches about, there were some really funny ones where bi women would like reveal their boyfriends, which were very funny.
Yeah, that's
but
pretty funny.
Some of them were doing jokes, or not doing jokes, but doing like really serious breakdowns. Everyone who has like above 10,000 followers on TikTok thinks that they need to issue statements. Mm, bitch, nobody cares.
Well, yeah. Elise, you heard that. No statements.
Sorry, I'm at 17.
Hello?
People must hear from me.
But they were doing like, they were like, statistically, bisexual people are the largest group in the queer community that's scared to come
Jesus
out, and the suicide
Christ.
Rates are the high. And I'm like, you have got to, and I mean this, take a walk and
go
fucking
touch
breathe
grass.
Some air.
Touch
grass.
Go touch grass.
Y'all are losing the fucking plot.
Yes. I feel like the internet in general has lost the plot, so to speak, on like just gentle ribbing or like joking.
Yeah.
I feel like culture, I think a lot of us grew up in a time where like you could be horrifically cruel to people publicly. Yeah. And that's, I'm glad that we've swung away from that.
Yeah.
I don't think that we need to be like doing
calling
that.
Britney Spears fat and so, like that was too much.
Yeah. I mean, I remember there was a game on E-Bombs World where you could throw knives at Britney Spears.
We don't need that.
If you hit her in the boob, her implant would fall out. So we don't need
that.
We can let that go. Yeah. But I feel like things that sometimes swing so far in the other direction that you can't like, just be a
no
little.
No one can make jokes
just
anymore.
Be like a little snarky.
Also, here's the real tea.
The tea.
I check in on my haters sometimes. I see what's going on with them. Mm-hmm. Almost every single person that I saw. Now I couldn't keep track. It got pretty big. But almost every single person who got mad at me about that joke.
White big sexual woman with
a woman with a boyfriend. I mean, yeah. It's like the proof is in the pudding, honey. I don't know.
I mean, hey, and listen. I'll say this. You know. As someone who's bypassing, who gets booked on queer shows, and then I have to let people know. One time I went to a show and I was booked, and then I'm like, hey, just so you know, like you know, I'm not queer. And they're like, are you sure your boots are pretty queer? And I'm like, I live in Bushwick.
Yeah.
But also, like, half of the jokes, too, just also, like, growing up, I have a crazy background, but, like, fag hag jokes, like that is part of my culture. There's always a fat fag hag.
Come on.
All around, and that's like part of it, and like that's what it is, you know what I mean?
Also, we're just, I think culturally we're in like a real tricky moment right now where everybody wants the wrong thing from the wrong people. They want their politicians to be funny, they want their comedians to be earnest, they want their musicians to be like nobody, like when comedians are funny now, they're like, wow, the fact that you're not posting every single day about this horrific thing going on in the world, whatever it is, by the way, there's a million of them. It's like, yeah, I don't really know what y'all expected from me, but I've been pretty clear about the fact that I'm a comedian. I don't mind being earnest. I do use my platform when I think it's appropriate, but it's like, do y'all want me to just never tell a joke?
Well, yeah, that's what these people, yeah, I feel like we've definitely felt that with at our former like company. We did a news and politics podcast, but at the end of the day we're comedians, and it's like, why do you want us to talk about this flood?
Yeah, I'm really sad about it.
We're sad people lost their homes, but
yeah, it was kind of part of the reason why we wanted to create a podcast where we could talk about just like dumb internet stuff.
Yeah,
you guys are like destroy the community with a flood, the house down, boots. Yeah, you guys are trying to.
But yeah, that's so funny. That's like no one wants what people are. Yeah, that no one wants the original.
Yeah,
thing.
I think that people try to like lash out at the people they actually feel like could read their comment, and right. It's like, you know, Joe Biden isn't gonna read your comment, so they're gonna stitch Caleb and be like, actually blah blah blah, you
also
know?
People are legitimately trading in, although, you know, there's like much uproar right now about like oppression Olympics or whatever. I don't have any interest in talking about that, but there is a legitimate conversation I think to be had about people trading, especially people with privilege. The bisexual thing is a great example of like, white women have a lot of privilege in this society. White women also have a lot of issues by virtue of being women in a misogynistic society. Yeah. I'm not erasing that. I'm not a fucking moron.
No.
However, people with privilege are, because they want to feel connected to oppressed people, because they want to feel like good whites.
Hang on to marginalized identities.
They clue into any fucking thing they can to feel oppressed. And it's like, you actually don't have to do that to be a good ally.
Mm-hmm.
You can just relax a little bit.
I think we can all relax a little bit.
Well, not me. I'm perfect.
No.
But...
and that will be like the overarching theme of today, is that we're perfect.
We're good.
We're doing exactly great. We're posting everything that's the right thing to be posted at the exact right time. And our voice is needed on every topic.
I also do. I do think there's a time and a place to apologize for a joke. Like, I have definitely taken feedback immediately. Like, I think one time on Twitter, I posted like a, I shared like a Dr. Umar clip, and a bunch of my black followers were immediately like, "Not your place." And I was like, "Super cool." Delete. You know what I mean? Like,
also, it's funny. Also, he's crazy.
I watch everything he posts, but I was like,
we have to do an episode, a deep dive on Dr.
That
Umar.
That I know nothing about. And
you don't know Dr. Umar?
No,
you don't know Dr.
Love...
You've seen the clip.
Sure,
I beg your
I'm
pardon.
Sure
I beg.
I'm sure that I've seen the clip.
Seen the clips. This guy's. But yeah, no, I could see that, and yeah, like. That also is a whole other part that like gets lost on the internet, is the amount like being able to give grace and have like nuance and grace and like, oh shit, I shouldn't have done that. But like, it's just this whole gotcha thing that it's really like, exhausting. It's just, yeah. Well,
ultimate bad faith readings, all of that
ultimate bad faith. Everything's bad faith. And this ties in perfectly to our discourse.
Wow.
Today.
Discourse! Yes.
So the discourse is the segment of the show where we just break down one of the biggest discussions people are having.
Mm-hmm.
And our topic today is extremely contentious.
Wow.
Political.
Wow.
Divisive.
Yeah. The flood.
Yeah. The flood.
And it's about food, guys. And specifically... DoorDash.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Caleb got up and left. Caleb's leaving.
Y'all, this was so much fun. I love you guys.
Okay. So on March 8th, a user at Zaganel85 mm-hmm. tweeted, "The cost of a bacon cheeseburger at the local Five Guys is over $15 in Biden's America." Mm. And then he put source Uber Eats. And then in here you see, right, one bacon cheeseburger is $15.83. And then little fries are $6.23. And a Diet Coke bottle is $4.07. Subtotal $26.13. Delivery fee $1.49. Taxes and other fees $7.48. And the total comes out to $35.10. So this is what he's saying. So Zaganel says it's about $30 subtotal for a bacon cheeseburger, fries, and Coke at a fast casual place, not a real restaurant. That's a bit much, no matter how well adjusted you are. And this seems to be echoing a phenomenon that we're seeing a lot, it's a discussion that people are having amongst inflation and the economy, which is like the price point for fast casual or / mid-level restaurants has gotten so expensive, it almost makes no sense to eat there, like to visit them anymore. So it's like people will go to the fast food places, and even fast food places, people are making the argument that like now a Big Mac meal at McDonald's is costing close to $20. Wow. So, you know, people are, yeah, but the argument is even worse for like the mid-level fast casual places. So people right now are only visiting either the cheapest fast food places or really nice expensive restaurants because mm-hmm. of whatever. And people are tying this to Joe Biden's economic policies.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this is Joe Biden's fault?
Caleb?
Caleb?
No,
What's your economic take?
No. First of all, I don't care about the economy. I don't know about it. I don't understand how it works. I think rich people invented it to confuse us. Mm. But here's what I'll say. The core issue of all of this, the people posting about groceries getting so expensive, gas getting so expensive, jobs aren't paying well, benefits aren't right, all these things, looking at Joe Biden, looking at Trump, looking at whoever, they're not equal. Obviously, I voted for Biden. I'm a huge leftist. But, and we'll see if I do it again. But... it's the billionaires, y'all. It's the fucking business owners. It's the profiteering fucking ruling class, and we legitimately we need to start dealing with some of them. And I have an idea, but I don't think I can say it on the air.
No, but
I just don't. I think that it is one of those situations where it's like this would be happening no matter who anyone who's like who we elect that is in service to the system. Is we're going to be having these $35 burgers.
Whatever. And I mean, I think this goes back to a few weeks ago in when we were talking about price gouging and how Kellogg's like raised the prices of their cereal by 28% just because they could, just to get a higher profit margin.
Yeah, it's one of those places where it's actually true kind of that it doesn't matter who's in office.
Well,
that's one of them. I also, I really think that it would be, this would all be solved. The is it Biden? Is it this, that? Elected officials should be like chosen from a lottery. Regular people, like a nurse in Iowa, should be chosen as president for 4 years, sent there to do it, and then not allowed to have another term, sent back to nursing in Iowa. I think every senator, every congressperson, they should all just be like selected from the fucking lottery.
Yeah.
If you're a billionaire,
like jury duty situation.
Exactly correct. If you run Boeing and you get selected to be a congressperson for 2 years, tough luck. It's your time. Like, it's what. Or if you're a fucking farmer, like, and we, you know, we pay them, we take care of whatever. But I'm like, this, any psychopath who wants to be in office doesn't actually care about the price of food for their constituents.
They become so divorced from the price of food very quickly. I think we have like some good people in Congress.
Yeah, and I will say, like, as somebody who, in our previous tenure, we interviewed some politicians, and when I, you know, like Joaquin Castro, Julian Castro, and some local, I'm like, oh, I get, like, there is a charisma and there is something to be able to break down complicated things like that. I'm like, oh yeah, like it, I could see the politician, like why people like certain politicians, but you're right, like the standing, getting divorced from reality and all of that, like, is not helpful for the long term.
Yeah.
For elected officials.
And also the Castro brothers are a great example, right? I've known those guys since like 2013 when I was like Young Dems, like college caucus chair, back when I worked in politics. They were making such an outsized impact in San Antonio. We needed them there.
Yeah.
Like, I just think people who go on to the national level with these national aspirations, I'm like, the real place to make change is at the
local
state
level.
And local level. And so the people who aspire to leave that behind and then go on and serve at the national level, I'm like, that is the exact instant where ego takes over care for your community.
Yeah.
So real.
So real.
But in my opinion, no, Joe Biden is not price fixing the burgers at Five Guys. No.
Okay, well, let's talk about the backlash. to this so naturally, there's a backlash about this because
backlash to a screenshot of a receipt. Let's just zoom out for a second that someone posted a screenshot of a receipt.
Yeah. Said it was Joe Biden's fault, and then people are like, look, this is somebody said, like, a screenshot of a receipt to DoorDash and Uber Eats is not an indicator of the economy, because DoorDash and Uber Eats and any delivery service is a luxury service. It's not something that's a necessity. That is the one aspect of the backlash. And another part of the backlash is this series of tweets. Like, a lot of people are making it, but I feel like these tweets. Okay. DoorDash has, this is by at Annie Notation, so it's like and notation.
Mm.
But and,
cute. Yeah, cute. Cute Annie Notation.
And notation. It says, DoorDash has, for many people, become a substitute for frozen meals, despite being less convenient and radically more expensive. And a lot of frozen meals taste fine. Plenty of chain restaurants are actually serving that. You can get a Stouffer's or whatever, or a Marie Callender thingy, and it's still like $4, and you can heat it up literally wherever. This Marie Callender pot pie is a delicious dinner, and it's $3.48. It's a reasonable price for something that requires no more work than filling out the DoorDash thingy. So those are the like two backlash points, right? Is that one, DoorDash is a luxury service, so you can't base, you know, it's like basing a private jet price like an indicator of the economy. And two, that like people are ordering DoorDash in like place of frozen food options. So my question is, what do you think? Is frozen food a good alternative to DoorDash? And kind of in your sense too, because this was another discussion, it was like, what kind of food makes sense being delivered, and what kind of food makes sense like getting frozen?
I think if you want to have something delivered to your house, you can order it and have it delivered, and that's you following your heart. Like, I don't feel one way or another about different types of cuisine to be delivered. I guess DoorDash is a luxury item in the sense that, like, you're using your expendable cash to have something brought to you, but I also feel like it's a loose use of the word luxury. Like, I think that DoorDash is something that is, like, reasonably within people's budgets, and they make room for it in their budget because they like to DoorDash food. And the food tastes better.
Well, so maybe luxury is the wrong word, but maybe, like, premium.
Yeah, premium,
I heard.
I think it's, like, an understandable frivolity. Like, yeah, it's, like, being a little frivolous, but, like, okay, what's the point of being alive if I can't be a little frivolous?
Yeah, like, why? Okay, I want ramen from Ichiran brought to me. Yeah. I want it brought to me.
Yeah.
I have the money in my account. Is it the most wise financial decision for me to make? Usually 9 times out of 10, no, it's not. But I'm allowed to do... I think premium is better. Like, luxury
premium,
to me,
luxury,
like,
was... Maybe luxury is not the right word, but... It's a premium service. It's not something, you know, it's not like a necessity.
Yeah, I personally do not need to receive DoorDash, but I also, I don't know. I feel like sometimes the way people talk about getting food delivery online, it's almost like this way the right will talk about things where, like, the only good poor person is someone who lives in absolute austerity and never...
use your food stamps for
steak. Exactly. Oh, well, you have a television. Like, it's like, well. Like, it's just this very weird thing where it's like, I don't know, somebody can be broke and also... put a little money away for DoorDash. It's not like...
Yeah, I guess, like, what people were calling out, too, is that some people use DoorDash to get, like, a bagel. And it's like, maybe you should just buy a pack of bagels. Or, and I mean, for me, specifically, something that prompted why I, like, asked the question is because, like... people ordering french fries, like, that was a thing. Like, ordering french fries on DoorDash is like, is it better just to get frozen fries and then put them in the air fryer, which fucking slaps? Like, that was something. It was like, oh, sometimes it does. But yeah, like,
it is if you want to save money. But it's I just feel like if the person wants to order fries, then God bless.
I feel like I don't give a fuck. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I can't believe these people give a fuck. I will say that I had two thoughts about it. About it being like the person that was like, oh, it's just as good to get a frozen meal. I'm like, if you think of Marie Callender's, by the way, those can fucking bang.
Yeah.
The frozen food items from Trader Joe's, I will go
crazy
Trader on
Joe's
that
frozen
shit.
Food. That's exactly what I was thinking.
It goes in, but if you think that that's always going to hit as much as having like McDonald's delivered at midnight when you get home from the bar,
no,
it doesn't. Sometimes you want a fucking hot cheeseburger delivered to your house and you don't want to have to like get a frozen patty out of
No.
Sometimes delivery hits way more than frozen stuff. And also laziness is allowed. I'm allowed to be lazy if I want to. I'm a fucking grown adult who works hard for my money.
Yeah.
But the thing I was thinking about the bagel and the coffee delivery aspect of it, that I saw some of it. I didn't see much of this because I think it mostly played out on Twitter and I am gone. But
good for you.
Some people had like sent me links in group chats and stuff and I read a little bit of it. The thing it reminded me of, and I forget who, maybe it was like Bukowski or some like writer wrote this. You guys know the envelope analogy?
No.
I forget, and I'm probably butchering it. I forget which person this was. Maybe we can Google it. But there was a guy who basically he was talking to his wife and he was like, I'm going out to get an envelope. And she was like, why don't you buy a big package of envelopes so you don't have to go out for an envelope every day? And basically he was like, I love my little journey to go out and get an envelope every time I need one. And I feel that way about bagel and coffee where I go, if you want to order a bagel and coffee to your house, delivery, I have no judgment for that. Go fucking nuts. But I do think as a bigger conversation about happiness and loneliness that's going on in society right now and connection and like community, these little things that we do, these little like rituals that we are eliminating with tech and AI and like all these like automations, they are contributing to people's feeling of like loneliness and isolatedness. Yeah. So I would say order the bagel and coffee if you need to. Sometimes I've had like a Zoom meeting that started right at 9 a.m. and I didn't have time to get up and go get a coffee because I woke up late. I ordered Starbucks to the house. I have done that out of necessity a few times. But I would say if you're somebody who's struggling with like loneliness or feeling connected to your community or even just like depression, I would maybe get up and walk to get that fucking coffee and bagel and go talk to the person behind the counter and become a regular.
Yeah, that is an interesting thing too. And I guess in defense of annotation is that it's because I feel the same way. I feel like if somebody wants to order DoorDash, go fucking ahead.
Like, this is a tipped service. It's understood as a tipped service.
Also, dude, I drove for Uber Eats for between like in 2020 before I got like my first writing job. I was driving for Uber Eats as like my full time income for a little bit during COVID. And the number of people who lived in like poor neighborhoods or places that were like apartments that you would go, oh, this person's probably in the same income bracket as me because I was very poor at the time. They always tipped at least something. People who lived in fucking high rises and ordered $200-$400 of DoorDash or Uber Eats, legitimately the tips would be maybe $5 if anything at all.
Insane.
I got stiffed by rich people on bills that were so massive. And the thing is, I was doing this in Chicago and LA, but Chicago was so hard because I would go downtown, there'd be nowhere to park. So I'm parking illegally with my flashers on because they're messaging me being like, where is it? And I'm like, sorry, the restaurant was late. I'm risking a massive ticket and getting towed. I'm running up the elevator to bring it to your door and you're tipping me $2.50.
Yeah, no, that's fucking ridiculous.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart Family Cards. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are, so you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or whether you should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Audible's best of 2024 picks are here. Discover the year's top audiobooks, podcasts, and originals in all your favorite genres. From memoirs and sci-fi to mysteries and thrillers, Audible's curated list in every category is the best way to hear 2024's best in audio entertainment. Like a stunning new full cast production of George Orwell's 1984. Heartfelt memoirs like Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's Lovely One. The year's best fiction, like The Women by Kristen Hanna, and Percival Everett's brilliantly subversive James. Audible. There's more to imagine when you listen. Go to audible.com/imagine and discover all the year's best waiting for you.
Yeah. And it's the same thing of like, okay, I'm going to do an analogy of like my nails. I like to have my nails done. I like that. It's expensive. It's, a, you know, I can get press-ons. I can do my own nails, yeah. But I'm choosing, again, it's a premium service to go to someone and get your nails done and have a design and all that shit. I have to tip, you know, I can't be like, oh, nails have gone up now, which is what people have been saying. Like, yeah. Nails have gone up, or I'm not tipping that, whatever, this and that. It's just like, dog, like, that's what you got to do to get whatever. Okay, so now let's go to backlash to the backlash.
Which is our favorite.
Backlash the Squeakquel, backlash part two.
Yeah, exactly.
Backlash electric boogaloo. So many people say that they DoorDash because they are disabled. And just writing off DoorDash completely is ableist and erasing their needs. A common argument I heard, so in the discourse, this got really out of hand, right? Yeah. The original tweet was from 2 weeks ago. People are still talking about this to this day. And again, when people were like, again, so people were like, why the fuck would you DoorDash? DoorDash is not a necessity. And other people are like, I need DoorDash. I'm disabled. One argument to that was like, how many people are too disabled to make frozen food but earn enough to DoorDash every meal? And I was just thinking about that, right? And then like I was kind of like trying to wrap my head around that. The conversation with like the majority of DoorDash, like the DoorDash ableist conversation, that's just a very like common thing that happens in
online
is that everything goes to like this is ableist thing. But there were some tweets that gave me insight into the experience, right? So Jacqueline Foster, J_N_Foster, tweeted a thread that was really thing that says like, this is kind of my experience. I have my Gallic Enphalamitis chronic fatigue syndrome. And just discuss what it was like. Like when they have a flare up, it's really hard for them to even like go to the door and all that. And I'm like, okay, yeah. Like, and then they make enough money that it doesn't impact them to order DoorDash. So I was like, oh, okay. This is one end of the spectrum of like, yeah, like I can wrap my head around this. Like, cool. And then there was this response by Max Bedroom. He says, as someone who regularly eats microwave frozen meals, I can tell you it involves much more than just taking something out of the freezer and putting in the microwave for a few minutes. There's getting the box open firstly, which is often harder than it should be, and someone with hand pain or dexterity issues may not be able to get past that step. Then there's reading and understanding the directions, which, especially when I'm tired, is difficult enough for me. Usually the directions include things like puncturing a plastic cover or peeling it partially or completely back or puncturing it and then microwaving it a bit and then peeling and then stirring or all of the food and then more microwaving. So these were the two disparate things of like microwaving is too hard. And then also as a disabled person, this is what a flare-up looks like, so I can understand why people DoorDash.
This feels like the part of the discourse that just, and this is not to invalidate the segment, but this is the part of the discourse that begs that time-tested classic internet question of who gives a fuck.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. If you are disabled to an extent that you have a hard time making a frozen meal and you need to order a DoorDash or whatever the circumstance is, fucking rock on,
yeah,
dude.
Order.
I don't
order
give
away.
A fuck what you do.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm like, why do people want to, because here's the thing that bothers me is, Can I honestly fathom being disabled in a way where I can't manage microwaving a meal? No, I have never lived that experience. Mm-hmm. I cannot fathom how difficult that would be. But the people who read that online and feel the need to rip into it and act like this person's making it up, first of all, if they are making it up, who fucking cares? Yeah. And second of all, isn't it possible that that's just a really unfortunate fact from their experience? Mm. And then it just comes back to, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Unless you need my help. If you need my help, then I give a fuck. If I was your neighbor and you were like, hey, can you come over tonight and microwave this meal for me? I'd be like, hell yeah, brother. But other than that, I could not possibly give a fuck.
Sometimes shit doesn't apply to you, you know? I'm like, where was this what people were talking about in the beginning? Like, how did we get here?
Every post you feel like has to uniquely apply to you. And the internet is this place where anyone can add their voice to a conversation. So it's like, well, every single person, I think, feels compelled to add their unique experience. If people were online being like, there's no reason to order DoorDash. Everyone who orders DoorDash is a rich asshole. I would understand.
And some people were doing that.
Yeah, and like, that's like, that's not true. Mm-hmm. Again, and that, again, is to me like that weird right-wing thing of like, in order to deserve sympathy of any kind, you have to live in complete austerity or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the initial conversation was just about whether or not DoorDash or whether or not burgers are expensive. I do feel like it's indicative of the economy and that everything is more expensive, even premium services.
Yeah.
Like,
I also think, Millie, you brought up a really good point of this might not apply to you. I feel like the number of times, and it's partially because success on the internet is about being relatable, right? So you write everything as if it might relate to everybody.
Yeah.
But like, even when I say, you know, I've said things similar to what I said a moment ago about like, if you're struggling with depression, walk to the coffee shop, get to know your barista, pick up a bagel in person. Mm-hmm. The walk will help, the community will help, etc. When I say anything like that or any number of things that are about anything in the world, there will be people that hop in and go, nice, so what about people who can't walk? And I'm like, right, so maybe I wasn't fucking talking about you, and maybe you're going to have to find a different solution to the problem. Yeah. I'm giving my solution for somebody who has my experience of being able to.
Yeah.
And that applies to like a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not always about you specifically. I'm sorry you have a unique, horrible kind of like take on this one thing I'm talking about that doesn't work for you, but that's like your deal.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that is like, this is why like this thing, like, do I actually care about DoorDash? Like, no, but it is so indicative and so symbolic of the kind of conversations that happen where it just goes in all these different directions and people are like, no, but what about my specific situation? How come you're not considering that? And you're a bad person for not. And it's just like,
feel like it's a conversation that went in so many different directions of people assuming the worst about everybody and just being like the least generous version of absolutely everything, like on every single side, where it's like, just let people order fucking DoorDash for whatever reason they want to order DoorDash. I don't care if you like frozen meals, don't like frozen meals, want to make it, don't want to make it. Sometimes I order DoorDash because I'm just like really fucking tired.
Yeah. You know what's funny though? Legitimately what you just described is the exact reason I got off of Twitter.
Yeah.
The, like, it is the and by the way, the genuine, I pop on Twitter once every couple weeks to post a show link or something, because I do just unfortunately have a big, it's like a big newsletter at this point. But I don't read it anymore. I don't post jokes on there anymore.
It's hard, yeah.
And the reasons are many, but the outcome has been that I genuinely like people more.
Yeah.
I don't think about people as negatively as I used to. I don't feel as embattled as I used to. I legitimately was getting to a point with the internet and this phenomenon of everyone being so intense and ill-intentioned and bad faith readings that I started to like dislike people. Like humans as a general, I'd be like, if I don't know someone, I would look at someone and just based on like what they were wearing or something, I'd be like, oh, this is the kind of person on Twitter who would say this. But you can't help it because it is your entire experience when you're online, especially if you have a platform. And it's fine. I asked for that. Like I asked for a platform. I got it. That's a result of it. But the consequence of it was that, I just didn't like people as much. And getting off, I feel I'm a lot happier. And I think less negatively about other people.
Yeah, I will look at Twitter via our Go Touch Grass Twitter, but I also left. And I do feel like it had a similar effect of like just not having to, to see as much rage bait, because I do think that Twitter like leans toward that too. Yeah. So like someone who's saying just the most out of pocket ridiculous thing that in real life they would just say in a room and people would go whatever and like walk away is now something that I'm like, people go, oh my god, do you remember when she said that? That's so crazy. But yeah. That would just fade into the ether. Now is like being served to me. And then I got into this place with Twitter where like I would see a like rage baity post and then I would look at the comments and piss myself off reading the replies and stuff like that. And I was like, why am I seeking out this kind of like negative emotional flair? And that's why I ended up leaving.
Well, I'm still there.
And it's important. And it is important that Millie's still there.
And that's how we got our grass hole last week, which was the Barb that flew to Arizona to fight an Ariana Grande stand.
Mm-hmm. Obsessed. And thank you for your service, by the way, Millie.
Some people have to be on there to see what's happening.
Well, and I'm still on there, but I totally get what you guys are saying. And yes, but I am going to keep reading some bad faith.
I'm not saying, by the way, I think there are plenty of people who, and I, by the way, handled it for a very long time. There was a very long time where being on Twitter didn't really affect me that much. I didn't mind what people were saying about me or the world. It something switched for me, and so I left. But there are plenty of people who are doing fine with it. I'm not saying it's a universal experience.
Yeah.
You know what's wild? Do either of you look at threads?
No, because it's giving, we talked about it. It's like, it's giving like LinkedIn.
It's
and
LinkedIn,
Twitter
together
nerds.
In the worst it's way like possible. It's the dorks people, yelling at each other.
It is dorky.
Unbelievable. What I look at threads and it is, when I tell you, it is literally Twitter, but without any of the jokes. So it is just people being like, as a social media manager, it is. And like getting into fights about like the...
Yeah. Or like a black and white picture that's like in 1953 this man disappeared. And then it's like a big long story.
Yeah, and then but then like a bunch of people going, actually that's factually inaccurate. Blah blah blah. I'm a historian. See, like- and it is truly threads is whatever they were trying to do over there. What it is dorks yelling at each other, and it's unbelievable.
Yeah, because I'm like, black people are still on Twitter, so that's why it's still fun. But Twitter black people are still on Facebook, though. And it's really fun. You know that there's, before we keep going with this, I'm like, there's like a bad BBL Chicago Facebook group where it just pictures of people's bad BBLs.
That's very
and
special.
Like, there's all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, there's just cool shit happening.
Yeah, still. That is really cool.
There's cool shit happening.
That's some pretty cool shit.
Yeah, that's some cool shit. Or just like very niche, like whatever. And like, I don't know. There's still some fun conversations that are being had on these things where I don't feel like I'm ready to give it up yet. But yeah, it did turn like now Twitter has stopped being like, there was a moment where everyone's like, I'm going to leave this place. Now everyone there's like, we're staying.
Wait, yeah, the people who are here are the ones who stayed.
We're not going to complain, but it is bad.
The jokes are much better on Twitter. There's not one funny thing being said on threads.
Well,
unless someone posted it on Twitter and then also posted it on threads because that's what they're doing.
The
but there's not one joke being made on threads.
It's just better for jokes too. But okay, so backlash to the backlash. Yes. So somebody to Mac's bedroom, somebody replied, if you find microwaving a meal this difficult, you generally need to be under some sort of supervised care. And
I'm sure that was received well.
That was
Wait, so did everyone just like that and take it as a nice thing? Or was it meant to be nice? Was it taken that way? What happened?
What was the assumed tone on that one?
somebody replied, this one is at Cartoons Hate Her. It says, I feel like I'm not qualified to say anything, but it's bizarre how every time I see a documentary about someone with no hands or whatever, they're extremely proud of living independently, playing sports, etc. And then someone with ADHD or some people with ADHD are like, I can't pick up a napkin.
Don't get me started, y'all. Don't get me started on that.
And then somebody replied to that and said, as a disabled person, something is missing from this narrative. If someone is disabled and can't perform activities / daily living, meal prep, eating, cleaning, why doesn't this person have in-home service supportive services? We should be encouraging them to apply for IHSS. And then Cartoons Hater replied, yeah, I don't even mean this in a derogatory way. People should have government-sponsored help if it's truly at a point where microwave something isn't possible.
I mean, agreed.
Yeah. Like, but also the ADHD can even pick up a napkin thing.
As a member of the ADHD community, yeah. I will say that sometimes the ADHD discourse on Twitter makes me laugh a lot.
Dude, it constantly pops into my head that I love a lot of people with ADHD and have to deal with some of their little tricks and tools to get through, like, you know, tricks going to the grocery store. But there's that one tweet that's like someone tweeted like, when are we ever going to have the conversation about how hard the Halloween season is for people with ADHD and picking out a costume? And it got quote tweeted and someone said, is there anything you people can do? And I was like, yo, that is how it feels sometimes. Yeah.
I know there was a lot of tweets specifically about, like, well, heard that saying, don't DoorDash is misogynist and ableist now. Like, it's all that.
It is just like literally any conversation. We keep using the term bad faith, but it's like any conversation you can find the way to be like, actually, women have to DoorDash because after a certain hour, it is not as safe for us to be out. And so we must DoorDash. Crazy. Like, you can, like, yeah. Like, give me one and I'll tell you how it's what thing.
And we're
you
saying,
want it to be.
Elise is diagnosed. I'm not diagnosed, but I know I have ADHD. Somebody did our podcast and then later said there was ADHD in the room.
And they were correct.
Is the ADHD in the room with us now? And yes.
And I will say, one time I was online and people were, there was a discourse happening around whether or not you should keep vegetables in, like, the side door, which is an ADHD hack that I do because then I don't forget that the vegetables are there and I actually use them. And there were people being like, that's disgusting. You shouldn't use your vegetables in the side door. And did I feel the desire within me to say, actually, I have ADHD and I would be wasting my vegetables if I didn't keep them in the side door. Yes, I did feel that, but I let it pass me and I moved on with my life. I did not engage in the side door discourse, but I will say, if anyone listening with ADHD is constantly forgetting about their vegetables, you can put it in the side door.
I might do that.
And then you'll see the vegetables and you'll remember that.
Y'all, you can put it in the side door.
You can. Some people will say that it's not the best for refrigeration, but you know what? You're eating the vegetables. You're actually eating the vegetables.
There is also something to be said about the person who replied, do I really want to be on their side or have a stake in this argument? No. But the person who replied that, like, people who have lost a leg that pride themselves on climbing mountains, or people who have, you know, a much less severe situation, choosing to constantly engage in, like, a sort of sympathy-seeking behavior about the fact that they have, ADHD or something, that disparity, it's not always, I don't think it's always useful to talk, like, I don't think it's always useful to compare people's situations, and in fact, most time it's not, but there is something, I think, small, at least in one of these conversations somewhere, to be said about trying to be happy, and trying to be happy. Like, I feel like a lot of the stuff on the internet that gets to me is, like, I'm not saying that you can't microwave a meal, I'm not saying that you can't climb the mountain, I'm not saying you can't play basketball, or chop the onions with your feet, or whatever the fuck people are doing. I'm just saying, there are oftentimes the difference between people being happy and not being happy to me is, are they even trying?
Well, and, you know, we've talked about this a lot. This was a really difficult, like, lesson I had to learn as an adult. I grew up, my parents are practicing Buddhist. I grew up Buddhist. And, like, kind of the core philosophy is that, like, kind of the goal in life is to be happy and to, like, try to work through your problems and overcome your obstacles and be happy. And I think, again, one of the hardest lessons I had to learn is that some people don't want to be happy. Some people want to be miserable for their whole lives. And some people don't want to take because being happy means that you have to take responsibility for a lot of your shit and you have to work on your shit. And, like, actively, it's a practice. You have to actively do things to, like, make yourself happy or see the good things in a situation or be optimistic. And it's really hard for people, and people don't want to do that. And that was a really hard pill to swallow. Like, oh, you just don't want to do anything that's going to make you feel better.
Because also, by the way, I say this as someone who's been there. When I was at my most depressed in my early 20s and, like, fully S-word, like, I
Sexual?
Right, sexual. Yeah. It rhymes with Mua Nidal.
This isn't TikTok. You can say suicide.
No. But when I was like fully suicidal and at my worst mental health wise, I was in that position where I was like, I didn't want to be happy. There was a part of me that like, I let my depression completely overtake me. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the fact that being depressed was a sort of get out of jail free card that I got to do whatever negative thing I wanted. I got to eat garbage food at every hour of the day. I got to never go on that annoying mid-afternoon mental health walk. I got to never reach out to an old friend and go to that lunch that I'm gonna have to shower for. There was a real bliss in letting my depression take over. And I'm not saying that everyone should just like pull themselves up by their bootstraps, but I'm saying take it if it helps, leave it if it doesn't. There is a certain element of being happy that is just you making up your mind to do the unfortunately necessary things to make yourself happy.
Well,
yeah.
And there you go. Well, just one more little tweet before we get final thoughts on this that I thought was really interesting. And this was from Avery Edison. And it says, quote, "Why are people so weird about DoorDash? Because it's exploitation. The business model does not."
I was wondering when we would get here.
Let's go!
"The business model does not function without massively underpaying workers, most of whom live in poverty. Habituating yourself to using DoorDash is a moral sickness."
Quote, moral sickness. Moral I'm sickness. So sorry. That is the most internet shit ever. Using DoorDash is moral sickness.
We have one more. Quote, "Maybe heat up some frozen food instead of getting delivery." Being, unquote, being met with, quote, "So you want me to die?" which is a real thing people said this week, should indicate which side of this debate, quote unquote, has the seriousness and clarity here.
I'm sorry, but it's like I agree with that person. And also, you can't say that getting DoorDash is a moral sickness and and have me take you serious. I'm so sorry. This is like grandiose shit that people do online, drives me fucking crazy. You can say like, yeah, DoorDash again is a premium service, and it would be it should probably cost more because the workers aren't paid appropriately. Sure, but to be like getting food delivery is a moral sickness is as insane as saying, if you don't let me get food delivery, I will die.
Yeah.
I'll take it a step further. The person who said this, the moral sickness tweet, they're a fucking idiot. Like, because here's the deal. Are they wrong about the reason that DoorDash functions and people consider it evil is because it is evil? No, they're not. But they are operating on a, like, freshman year of college understanding of the world. It's like basically what you just tweeted is capitalism is bad. Yeah. Fucking, oh my God, thank you, babe. Like, can you go a little deeper on that? Like, can you move past that? The rest of us are actually moved on to like deeper discussions about how to make things better.
Yeah.
You're giving us like this like freshman at like a fucking liberal arts school in the Northeast take on like, actually, workers are underpaid because the rich people want the money. It's like, yeah, dumbass, we know.
Yeah.
Well, that's what me and Elise have talked about that a lot, and that shit performs well online, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's the people who have like the stupidest, most like base level takes about like capitalism sucks.
Yeah. Have and you ever like thought about how like even your how much free time you have is also kind of labor? I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, look it on there and be like, do you guys ever think that like straight men literally don't even enjoy women? It's like, right, please catch up.
Yeah.
We're already there. We already know they're kind of gay.
And maybe this comes
we already know they're kind of gay. I've dated all of them. It's fine.
And maybe this comes down to just the fact that we've talked a bunch of times about like the generations, like we can't, we have had the conversation, but maybe this tweet is like, maybe this person's like 19 and it is really just occurring to them.
I am almost willing to put money on the fact that they're under 30.
Well, and that's what we said. We said that Twitter would be better if we could get like a
age siloed,
or like warning, this person lives in the suburbs, or
warning, this is a 19-year-old.
This is a 19-year-old person,
And they did most of their school on Zoom.
By the way, Microsoft Teams graduation.
That's why when people do that, when queer people, it's a read, and I think it's funny. But when people do the queer read of like, I am a non-binary ADHD person who suffers from depression who works at a coffee shop that has, I'm like, drag them all you want, and it is funny at a certain point. But I know exactly where the fuck they're coming from, and it does contextualize their takes to me.
Yeah.
Where I go, oh, you're 19, queer, and live in Portland? Yeah, right. I don't have to pay a ton of attention to what you just
said. That's what, But that's like kind of, that's what Reddit really got well. Is like
you when had the flair.
Well, when they do the, am I the asshole? It's like, hi, 28-year-old male, my 16-year-old girlfriend, and you're like, okay.
Got it.
Absolutely.
I checked in, or like when I see I Am the Assholes and they're like 19-year-old female, I'm like, okay, well, not really gonna like.
You might not be an asshole. You might just be 19.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I was just one more thing was I was talking to my friend and he was like, God, like dating in New York so hard. Like this girl, she doesn't know what she wants and this and that and blah blah blah. And then he was just saying all this shit. And I'm like, how old was she? And he's like, oh, she was like 23. And I'm like, you need to start with that. Yeah. You need to start with that. So then I know.
It has to be disclosed.
It needs to be disclosed. I'm sorry. Don't know my age, but everyone. Yeah. I need to know everyone else's
age. I'm 23. Yeah, and I have ADHD.
Yeah. And I'm square. As an Afro-Latino who's.
By the way, you just dragged the hell out of me because I'm the first 29-year-old guy to sleep with a 24-year-old and be like, he doesn't know what he wants. And my friends definitely have to be like, yeah, he's 24.
Yeah, they're 24. They don't get it.
Got my ass, yeah.
The frontal lobe ain't developed yet.
The frontal lobe is not. All right, should I move us on to our grass hole?
We should move on to our grass hole.
All right, this is our final segment where we declare the person who needs to log off the most. Okay. I think we said, you know, basically everyone we just talked about needs to log off.
Everyone.
And every single person we've mentioned so far needs to log off. But this week's grass hole.
It's bisexuals. I'm kidding.
This
we
week's
love
grass
bisexuals,
hole.
By the way.
It's a discourse, it's a question, it's a moral quandary that has been posed. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to, it's going to be one where we determine together, mm-hmm. is the grass hole the royal palace or all of us? Do you guys have like an initial reaction to royal palace or all of us, or do you want me to break it down first?
I feel like let's break it down because I have some thoughts.
I've got it, but I'm ready for the breakdown.
Yeah, okay, let's okay, go. Okay, hold on to it. Yeah. So. After weeks of online speculation, Kate Middleton revealed on Friday that she's been diagnosed with cancer and will be undergoing chemotherapy. We had talked earlier that week prior. We talked about it on the Patreon, the entire Kate Middleton situation. We broke that down. And then we did an episode in the free feed about the cheating rumors.
Yeah.
We all know that the Kate Middleton, where is Kate? Hashtag KateGate. It was everywhere. It was all over the internet. So, since her revelation of what has actually been going on, two camps have emerged. One, which is like the palace-backed camp, is basically saying all of the speculation was completely disgusting about Kate. The internet bullied her into revealing her diagnosis. We are all assholes. Tons of articles have come out. There's one in The Atlantic that was just titled, I hope you all feel terrible now. I'm ashamed to have reveled in Kate Middleton conspiracies was in The Independent. Like, there was a bunch of different versions of that article, which basically said, like, the internet bullied Kate Middleton. Then there's the opposing viewpoint, which basically says, like, this is on the palace. They handled the PR of this situation in such a kind of weird, bungled, crazy way that it fueled the speculation and what could have been a very, like, sympathetic moment for Kate ended up being this crazy situation in which, cheating rumors about her husband were brought back up. Mm-hmm. Also, like, her life was being dissected massively. They also very famously put out that photoshopped picture and then had her take the fall for the photoshopped picture, which a lot of people are like, if you had her best interest at heart, that's crazy to try to put it on her. So key dates to be aware of is just like January 17th is the first time that Kensington Palace said anything. They announced Kate Middleton had undergone planned abdominal surgery. She was going to be in the hospital for 10 to 14 days. She was going to come back on March 31st. That stood until end of February, early March. That's when, like, this really picked up the where is Kate thing started happening. They addressed it for a second time on February 29th, where they just said, Kensington Palace made it clear that in January, the timelines of the princess's recovery, and we'd only be providing significant updates. That guidance still stands. And then for there, we get the weird picture of her in the car, the Mother's Day AI Photoshop thing, Kate taking credit for that. And so basically, like, they, you know, there was like the video at her at the market. There was just all of the weird things that everyone has been dissecting in general. So that's kind of like one side of it. But then on the flip side, There were actual weird conspiracy theories being promoted about Kate Middleton. I wrote about one for Jezebel where a lady claimed to have her private cremation video, which is completely fucking insane. Insane thing to say that you have. And it was like a weird shadowy like Rorschach test video. Like you're deranged if you're saying that you have Kate Middleton's cremation video online for views.
I do regret posting that. I do regret that.
Also, you got that on Twitter for that.
Yeah, it
was Caleb who posted it from a burner.
My alt. I'm gonna shut it down. That was bad. That was bad of me.
And you know what? Glad that you came around to. Yeah. You owned it.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, you do.
I will.
Yeah.
At the exact same time, that same woman's husband, two people who paid for blue check marks, she's saying, I have Kate Middleton's cremation video. Her husband is saying, I have intelligence. I know for a fact that she's been committed to a mental institution. Okay. So there are people who are like legitimately spreading weird lies about this woman, which I think is separate from like people making BBL jokes, or maybe someone who posted a video about how maybe the royal family was subject to a diamond's curse, which
that was you. Yeah, that was you. And it
that
went
was
really
me.
Viral.
It did. And someone did comment this age like milk like 2 days ago. I was like, word. I will take responsibility for that milk.
No, fuck that.
So, even today, if you look at replies on her video, there are people who are like, this is actually AI. I don't believe it. Well, blah, blah, blah. So, and there was also like, it came out that like a Russian bot driven conspiracy came around that like, and the Ukrainian embassy had to come out against that Prince Charles was actually dead. There are people who thought they were moving behind an Arctic ice wall. Like
the
plot did get lost.
For sure.
Amongst the where is Kate discussion. So that's kind of where the two camps lie. Mm-hmm. Where, with that information,
Caleb is ready.
Nobody who asked questions about her whereabouts was wrong. Nobody should feel ashamed for speculating or joking. Everybody was right. The palace stoked weird confusion with that fucking Photoshop picture. Mm-hmm. They promoted it. They goaded it on. All of us responded normal. Well, okay. Everybody who was just asking normal questions and making jokes responded normally. People who were doing like real ice shelf conspiracies, they're fucking weirdos, but always would have been. The palace was wrong, and they're the grass hole.
And they're the grass hole. Is that where you stand?
I second that. I say that I have no regrets. The all the jokes and everything that we were doing, like, it was in response to their weird shit. Not like if they posted this thing that was like, hey, she's sick. But they post, yeah, it's response in there. Like, and again, like we said, it's the insulting thing of like, they think everyone's a fucking idiot and that we're not going to ask more questions or whatever. And that how dare. And now that whatever came out, it's like, how dare you? I hope you're happy. Like, you're not entitled. And it's just like,
also, if this
the bag.
If this freak show of a fucking family wants privacy so bad, dissolve the monarchy and go live in silence.
Yeah, go.
Well,
I don't care about your
go
privacy.
Go move to the beach, like fucking Meghan and Harry. Which, side note, there's like a whole
American
other
Riviera.
Yeah, American Riviera.
There's a
whole
Markle's
side
new
group of people who are like somehow mad at Meghan Markle over this.
Well,
which
people
is
are
like,
racist.
Yeah. I
mean, racism exists, so people are always going to be
wait,
mad at.
Wait, what?
I know, Caleb. I'm sorry.
No,
I know you're as a queer comedian who eats at a coffee shop. You haven't heard of racism, but it does exist. You're not listening to Dr. Umar jokes, apparently. I mean, not Dr. Umar videos, because you haven't.
I thought he was kidding. I didn't know racism was really going on. That's horrible.
But yeah, American Riviera. Sorry, that is Meghan Markle's new trademark for her jam company.
Which she did, but she which she released before we all knew the news.
Oh yeah, before we all knew the news.
Here's my thing about it, because I land where you guys land, which is that like, the palace bungled the PR of this to such a degree, and like, people were rightfully catching on that what they were saying was not true, and that is what fueled speculation. I do think there are people who lost the plot again to lie and say you have. Those are people who are, there's something else going on with them, and they do need to touch grass for a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. But with the palace, it's like, you don't get to put this stuff out and be like, it's fine. it's fine. Nothing's going on. Nothing serious is happening. And it's fine. And we told you she'd be back in March. And then when we find out that something serious was happening, go, wow, there was something serious going on all along. And you made your little jokes.
I hope you're proud of yourselves.
Yeah, you made your little jokes. And you've disrespected the princess in the process. And it's like, if you guys had just said when the speculation, because their initial thing about the planned abdominal surgery, I think that's a normal message for them to have sent. But if they had just, when the speculation was coming out, said, recovery's taking a little bit, like the recovery's actually been kind of tough. Kate's like, said something that acknowledged what was happening and gave a hint that it's like, she's sick, guys. Yeah. Let's chill out. It would have changed the game. But instead, they released obvious, weird lies that fueled the flames a million times. And also, my big question is, like, number one, they probably could have just had, I said it on our Patreon a bunch of times, like, a picture of Kate getting flowers from one of the kids in bed, and it's like, recovering, whatever.
Yeah.
Something
easy.
Normal. They could have face-tuned it.
Yeah,
she would have looked fine. It's just not like obvious, like the image they put out. But also, I'm like, where the fuck was William in all of this? He could have made a statement at any time and been like, my wife is recovering. She sent me out here to say she's like, this is what's going on. We want privacy.
Well, he's banging
because
his mistress. He's well, busy with that. Oh, that's not over for me, by the
way.
Why
wasn't he sitting
that's
with her?
That's not our, Chalamandali.
Chumley. Our girl Chumley. Why wasn't he sitting with her?
Yeah,
the
he
fact
should've,
that she
the video,
that video alone is crazy to me.
Yeah, the video, he should have sat with her in the video and held her hand, and they could have done it, but he's a little bitch.
If he had taken the lead on giving
information
about this.
Well, maybe he's finally getting hair plugs, who knows?
Yeah, maybe. If he had taken the lead on giving information about this, I think it would have been a lot different. But instead, it's like just weird cryptic tweets from the palace, fake fucking pictures, and then William going around not saying anything, like missing appointments and not missing appointments and then not saying anything. And it's like, he could have been the one to lead the discussion on this, and people would have been like, well, it's William and he's saying it, whatever. But they chose to be as weird as humanly possible about it. And don't tell me that you give a fuck about Kate Middleton when you're going to have her say, when you're going to blame your Photoshop shit on her.
The Photoshop was weird. They fumbled all of it. William could have done a better job. All of those motherfuckers could have done a better job. Camilla could have done some shit. They all fucking suck. I don't give a fuck about their privacy. Give me $50,000 off rip. I'll fucking do a better job than all these people for 2 weeks. I'll do it for 2 weeks. But
yeah, like, I can't be involved for longer than 2 weeks.
No, come on.
I have a
but
life.
But I'm just like, yeah, like, don't blame us. It's just like, it's like, I don't know. It's all fucking stupid. And it's all these stupid think pieces with all these terrible people. It's like, we all had fun on the internet. Sometimes it's like, people are going to make jokes no matter what. So it's like, not all bad faith. Even the jokes aren't bad faith. Also, William is not helping the cheating rumors either. Okay? Because like you said, that shit's not over because it's like...
He's cheating.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's like, this is not our fault. So...
Yeah, and it's also like these... Some of the same publications that were like promoting their old articles about Chumley and being like, just for like SEO purposes are now like, oh, wow. We really blew it.
No,
And I'm like, you don't get to like play both sides of the entire thing. And it's just, I do feel like it comes down to what people have been saying the entire time. And what if you were actually listening to the conversation that people were having was like, this is a PR nightmare that was extremely bizarre and obvious to everyone that something was going on that wasn't being said. And then it turned out to be something sad.
And like we said, if you don't want to pay me $50,000, get Riley, the 23-year-old...
crisis PR intern.
For Tom Sandoval.
I'm sorry, she's not an intern. She is his crisis PR management for Tom Sandoval. I think Riley could do a better job.
Riley could do a better job than whatever the fuck is going on.
Because this was crazy.
It's not our fault. Go Touch Grass still stands.
Okay, so we're declaring the grass hole is Kensington Palace.
Yeah.
Kensington Palace.
Kensington Palace is this week's
grass
hole.
We need to go hang out with actual normal people. But then, they posted some, like, social media or some PR job very recently for the palace, and they were paying I saw it was, like, £30,000 a year, which is close to, like, $40,000 maybe or something like that. It's just, Yeah, you're not paying people well either, dog. That's why you, fumbling.
That's why you got the B team, the C team, even. Yeah, who thinks that, like...
You need some Olivia Pope money in there.
Yeah.
Olivia Pope would never... Now, she'd be fucking Williams, but...
But the secrets would be kept, wouldn't they?
But Kate would not have had to say shit until she wanted to say
it. Right, exactly. Correct.
She'd be fucking William the whole time in the palace, in the office with Kate next door, but...
Secrets would be safe.
But the secrets would be safe with Olivia Pope.
Yeah.
I mean, that is so true.
Yeah, well...
That is so true. All right. I think that brings us to the end of today's episode. We went deep into many discourses today, friends.
Oh. We're going to be canceled by royalists, bisexuals... Everybody who has
people who need DoorDash for whatever reason, people who don't need DoorDash,
moral sickness.
But we will remain on the side of those with ADHD.
Yeah, well, clearly from this episode, we are on the side of ADHD. Caleb, thank you so much for being here. Where can people find you?
You guys can find me at Caleb Says Things absolutely everywhere. Please listen to my new podcast, So True with Caleb Herron.
Amazing.
Preferably on YouTube, but also like and subscribe to it everywhere. And when does this episode come out?
On Wednesday.
Wednesday? Oh, my God. Come see me live on tour. I'm going to New York, D.C., Philly, Chicago, Nashville, San Francisco, L.A., Houston, Dallas, and Fort Worth all in the next month. I'm also going to add a Kansas City date, I think. Please come see me live in person.
Beautiful. That sounds wonderful. Guys, you can follow this podcast at Go Touch Grass Pod on everything, even Twitter.
Yes.
And I'm, if you see that we like stuff, it's because I was liking it. It's because I'm looking over there. I'm just not interacting. But you can follow me at Pandalise on Instagram and at Elise Navidad on TikTok.
Yes, you can follow me at Millie_Tamaris on Instagram and on TikTok. And at Millie Tamaris, a.k.a. Wactose Intolerant on Twitter.
Don't forget to follow our Patreon. Don't forget that we have our first live show coming up April 19th in Y'all Fest.
Yes, and Laughter Labs.
Yes, and Laughter Labs Festival. Yes. It's here in New York. Follow the Instagram. You'll get all the links. We'll be posting about that. We've got our special Road to 100 commemorative episode coming out soon.
Yeah, that'll come out in like the second week of April.
Yeah, something along those lines. But we've got it scheduled and we're excited. And until next time,
go touch grass.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.